Hi everyone, welcome back to Travel Notes, a podcast radio show where we dive into music from around the world and discover ways in which we're all connected. I'm your host, Grace McNally, and before we begin, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who tunes in regularly and supports the show. I just checked our analytics, and it turns out Travel Notes is listened to in 31 countries around the world. That's pretty amazing. You can find us on social media, travelnotes_podcast, and via my website, gracemcnallymusic.com/travelnotes. Today's guests are two lovely humans and fantastic musicians, Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta. I had the pleasure of sharing a room with them at the APAP conference back in January, and our paths crossed again at the Folk Alliance conference in Kansas City the following month in February. Eleanor is a USA-born vocalist, guitarist, and cellist who sings in English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. Her music is open-hearted and culturally fluid, connecting underground tributaries between languages and world rhythms in uplifting, soulful compositions that explore the fragile links between human emotions and responsibility. She's based in New York City and performs and leads educational programs throughout the United States and internationally via the U.S. Department of State's Arts Envoy and African Regional Services programs. Dario is a guitarist, composer, and master of Latin folk instruments. He combines his deep knowledge of classical and South American vocabularies with his passion for jazz harmony and free improvisation. Born in Tucumán, Argentina, Dario was raised in a traditional home filled with folk music and frequently accompanied his father, Cato Acosta, to peñas, or informal gatherings of folk musicians who share traditional songs. His new album, Folklore, which came out in 2022, leaps from his folk roots to bold new jazz vocabularies, merging New York City with Afro-Latin candombe, chacarera, and Andean huano. Today, we dive into their music, expansive, respective, and shared musical journeys, and discuss how music connects us all as human beings. Let's go. All right. So I figured we could start with your respective musical backgrounds, and then maybe like your origin story, how'd you guys come together and start collaborating as a duo?
First of all, thank you so much for having us. It's like a real pleasure for us to be part of your program. So thank you.
Of course. My pleasure.
So musical background. So I'm from Argentina. I'm from a small city called Tucumán, which happens to be the smallest province in the country. And it's a quite big center of folk music, of Argentine folk music in the whole like country. And my father is a musician. So I grew up listening to folk music. That's the way I grew up, you know, like listening to folk music, like going to these like informal gatherings, like with a lot of people from the same field, like playing in a very chill way, not so professional way. And then when I was 15 or something like that, I started like working as a musician. And I studied guitar, you know, like classical guitar. So my parents saw that I loved music. So they sent me to this like music school in the city when I was 11, I think. So I started studying music formally and also at the same time playing and like absorbing the whole like culture, folky culture from in the city. And then of course, when I was got older, I found some interest in other types of music, like jazz and classical music, and bossa nova, and maybe some American pop, rock, and I started learning that. So I always been like a very curious person, with hunger for music, for learning about music and new genres and new cultures. Yeah, and then I met Eleanor here.
The rest is history.
History in the making.
Sorry.
Well, hi, thank you for having us. It's really nice to be able to speak with you, also knowing that you have your own very rich musical background. So we have a lot to share in that way.
Yeah, Chris.
I grew
my pleasure.
Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying it's my pleasure to have you guys on. Yeah.
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. You could argue it's sort of a center of blues or American folk music culture historically. I didn't grow up so much in that, in the center of that, but it's in the air, and I love blues and jazz. I started playing cello when I was 3 and took Suzuki cello, which is a Japanese approach to learning music that is based in learning music as if you were learning like your mother tongue. So it's by ear, especially at the beginning, and children often start very young. And I took cello for probably 10 years in that technique, and in a very Japanese community with a Japanese teacher. And that, I would say, both of those things had a formative impact on my evolution as a musician, because I very young was exposed to another culture, another food, another way of being. And I would say I was one of the only non-Japanese students. So it awakened a curiosity in me for what else is out there and other ways of doing things besides what I guess I was born into. So I played classical cello, then I started to do musical theater in high school and started to sang jazz in college as well, started to write songs, and then also fell very much in love with percussion. So I would say now I sing mostly, play some guitar, play some cello, and shake stuff whenever I can.
I know, watching your guys', I watched your reel on YouTube, and I was amazed. It was like musical instruments, like the instruments were just changing like for everyone. It was really, it's cool. It's it makes for such a dynamic performance.
Our bass player, said the other day, like it's a kitchen sink experience, and
it
can sometimes feel like a kitchen sink experience. And I can't tell you it's getting less kitchen sinky, because we just started to talk about using a pedal for the cello, and Dardio has a bombo, which is a traditional Argentine drum that his father gave us, and I love this bombo. So stay tuned for even more kitchen sink. For me, the next piece of the journey was dance. So I always played music, but I didn't think that I was going to be a musician. It was something that I did very intensely when I was younger. And then I fell in love very much with contemporary dance and also West African dance, and moved to New York to make like site-specific contemporary dance pieces and train more. And I did that for about 10 years, which was quite amazing. Just the dance culture and the music culture are quite different, I find. And so at a certain point, though, I was missing audience. Like dance is can be very niche, and I would work very hard on something and then, you know, present it for 2 days and then it would be finished. And I started to play music again, I think, to fill a void, and felt very much a response from the audience that I was looking for, that was felt like, oh, I can really build this. And so I started to play music more and more, and then that has grown into really full-time music for me. So I do think I bring some of those values from contemporary dance into music, which is that it's not all about making it, you know, it's really art for art, and the role of the body in terms of how I make music is really important. I would say went more into dance and then came back to music. And then when Dardio and I met, which was in 2019, in the late fall of 2019, I very much had my band and my songs and shows and tours, et cetera. And he had his music and a very lengthy history that he can speak to better than I can. But we met in New York, and then the pandemic happened very soon after. But maybe, mm-hmm. Dari, do you want to talk about what you did between 18 and New York?
Yeah, sure. So I started, like, I've always had my own project for which I write the original music which is like a contemporary jazz with very strong Argentine roots. And I was just starting here in New York because I arrived in New York that year. So I started putting an ensemble together and record some stuff, and then the pandemic hit and I had to stop.
But I mean, like between when, so I can say, so Dario went to conservatory, went to a conservatory in Tucumán, then you went to La Plata and you went into a master's program, then you moved to Israel, you did a master's program there, lived in Israel for 5 years, and then moved to New York, right? So he has
Correct.
also a
Oh, wow.
world of life experiences and study before he arrived on the scene in NYC. And when we met, we discovered that we both had a very expansive repertoire of, as Dario mentioned, jazz and bossa nova and Latin music and original music by virtue of the fact that we had both taken these paths through different countries and languages. I also I lived in the Czech Republic for a while and spent a lot of time in Portugal, a lot of time in Cabo Verde or Cape Verde, and Latin America. And so by the time we met, we both spoke English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And then Dario also speaks Hebrew, and I speak French. So all of that went
Wow.
together into the soup of our pandemic-inspired duo that was, I would say, a combination of curiosity about each other's musical interests and survival. Because we got together in like February, March of 2020, and immediately almost everything shut down. And we, Dario at that time was moving, he was staying with me, and really like everything shut down and he just stayed. So it's one of those kind of romantic, funny stories of, he moved in and he never left.
Yeah. Since your repertoire really truly spans across so many genres, languages, cultures, what draws you to some the cultures and genres that you perform, the music you perform from?
I don't know. I mean, it's for me, it's very easy to say to answer that question because I always try to bring Latin American music to our repertoire because that what I identifies with. It's like I feel at home when I play Latin music, and she has that the same love for Latin American music that I have. So it's very easy for us to set a repertoire together, including those genres or. If it's not directly those genres, we were like, even if we play jazz or pop music, pop, American pop music, we're still bringing those elements from the Latin American music. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I think this word home is an interesting like pivot point on this question because as Dario said, it sounds like for you, Dari, playing Latin American music brings you home in situations where you're actually not at home, like right, you're not living in Argentina right now, and that need to touch base and bring your home into whatever it is that you're learning. And for me, I would say that I found my home musically or spiritually, personally, culturally in music and cultures that are not necessarily the one that I grew up in. So I really feel connected to the warmth and sort of the warmth of Latin culture, also West African culture, and also the role of music and dance in Latin culture, and I would say African culture is it's much less us and them. It's a much more shared form. So you don't have to be a professional to play music, and music is present many, many places, just informally, and it's something for everyone. It's something for the people. It's something for everyone, and also has a lot of importance in terms of protest, in terms of social action, in terms of spreading information about important social and cultural issues. And that all resonates very strongly with me. So, and I just also think rhythmically and harmonically, that's the music that speaks to me, just without even choosing it. It just happened that way. So I found my musical home outside of, I would say, like rock and roll or what I grew up with, and more in the music of Latin America and West Africa. And I also love, I can't say I don't love American music, particularly blues and jazz, and a lot of stuff that's happening now. But I really needed to travel inside of those other forms to find my own language.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Have you guys noticed any similarities or crossovers between cultures, whether it's West African and Latin American or in any combination that surprised you through your travels?
Yeah, actually, there is this, like, I think she mentioned that maybe not in the same words, but it's like the way people experience music in those countries, Latin America and Africa, are, it's like a more, how to say, it's like a less professional, it's more part of their life. If you go to the city I'm from, so everyone plays a play some guitar. Everyone knows the songs. Everyone loves music. It's like they don't do it just as a performance or as some like at the profession or whatever. It's like it's a part of their of our culture. So music is one more thing. It's like here maybe gastronomy,
Yeah.
it is part of the culture. It's not you don't everyone is allowed to play, to sing, to enjoy music. And I think that we've seen that happen in other countries too.
And I think it happens. I think it happens in the U.S. in certain musical communities. I think we do have, like, New Orleans, for example, maybe would be more of a, or Louisiana, right? Or even just maybe down south or in folk communities, it is maybe music is more of a shared thing. And I also would say to get away from this kind of romanticized idea of, like, children dancing in the streets, like this kind of, I don't know, I think there's a how do I say, like a loaded romantic thing about, if you go to Africa, then everyone is playing music. I think we should move away from that. And I would say it's more that certain countries have a very rich musical culture that is celebrated and also supported in, and some know, for example, I don't know, we went to Mauritania to work with the State Department, and there is very much traditional music, a lot of traditional music, but the government has closed most of the cultural venues there. And so children do not have access necessarily to learning music in the way that they might I know we're going to Angola in a few weeks, and we haven't been there, so I can't speak with any sort of authority, but it's clear that at least music is more universal in terms of the access that people have. And there's a very, very deep song culture. And also I think the so back to the original question about this connection is like Cape Verde, for example, is a country that survives to some extent on its musical tourism, or that music is a huge part of the economy of that country. And there also has been so much trade and so much international presence there, and so much exchange. Most Cape Verdeans actually are outside of Cape Verde, so that creates a kind of musical language in the country, a national music that is really a fusion of, like, similar to Argentina even, or maybe the US, a fusion of European and indigenous and African traditions. So you find this combination, like in Angola, one of the national genres of music is semba, which is possibly the root of samba. I mean, many Angolans were brought to South America to unfortunately be enslaved. But those, that music moves. So
Yeah.
music moves, I guess, right? It's not, music moves.
Totally.
And
Right.
you do find, I think, similarities, particularly in places where many nationalities have been present. You find the kind of national music that has evolved from that in exchange and that conversation, and the instruments as well.
Yeah. Tell me about what you guys have planned for that trip.
Each engagement, I would say, is different, quite distinct. Each one is organized by the embassy in collaboration with the U.S. Department of African Regional Affairs, I believe is, we should check that name to get this official name, but I think it's Department of African Affairs. I can look it up. And African Regional Services, which is the agency that sends us in collaboration with the embassy. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, we are participating in a summit about the preservation of the Congo Basin, which is second, I believe, to the Amazon in terms of size of a rainforest natural preserve. And similar to the Amazon, is facing all sorts of threats from farming to lodging to environmental mining, everything. And so this summit is an inter-African summit of experts, including a cultural component, which is very interesting, to spread the message about what is discussed in this summit. So we are a U.S. representation or U.S. representatives of culture in this summit. And then in addition to that, we have several performances, one at the embassy and one in some local venues, and we work with students also to teach workshops. So that's about 10 days. And then Angola is more performance and workshops and performing at the embassy without this additional sort of environmental summit component.
Amazing. Let's talk about your workshops because that's another huge piece of what you guys do. What kind of work are you doing with the kids? How do you maybe, yeah, maybe just broadly, we could start there.
Yeah, well, we're offering a few different kinds of workshops. One is, I think I would say the most su successful one is the songwriting workshop. The goal of this workshop is to write a song together in the time we have. Either if we have, I don't know, one session or two sessions or three sessions, the goal is to write a song all together, with the students, actually coming from the students. We kind of provide the platform and the structure and the information about how like songs work in a in like a more on a technical level, right?
Like the sec different section, the different
Yeah, the
sections of the song,
sections,
the
like
introduction,
how
verse,
yeah how
etc.
you write lyrics, how do you write music, like what the effects of the what the effects of certain chords are, what the feelings that different rhythms or chords progressions or stuff like that give you. And we write a song together. That's one. We also teach music improvisation. That's more for music students or and teachers. And there is one that's music business, like an American perspective, bringing an American perspective to different countries. That we've done that in Argentina, for example. It was very nice.
Like how to
Cool.
the different elements of what it is to be an independent musician, everything from like what is a bio to having a certain number of photos or videos available and dealing with press, but also just how what is even out there for independent musicians, what kind of platforms can you use to release music? And then we really try to cater our workshop to the needs of the students in the room. So Argentina is quite different, for example, than South Carolina because of different access to resources, different ways of, business is done, et cetera. But yeah, so how do you make steps into the music business as an independent artist? And how do you stay sane? I've started to incorporate an element of it, which is about personal decisions about how much you're going to use social media, things like that. And that really it's okay not to, you have to find your own language and your own way. Each person has to have a personal relationship to these different elements and make some decisions about how they're going to sustain themselves creatively in the midst of all of this. Because I think we all know it's too much for any one person, and yet there it is.
And then we're expected to care, like do it all. Yeah.
Yes, and I think it's romanticized. It's very over-romanticized, this DIY thing. I don't think anyone who's really working consistently and professionally is DIYing. I think part of DIY is delegating.
Amen. Yeah.
But I'll also say that for the songwriting workshop, the students choose the topic of the song. So we really encourage them to choose a topic that is relevant to them and to their community. So if it's high school students, it's something that is could be about stress. It could be about what happens after they graduate. But something that resonates with them and also with their community. Or we made a song with a group in Argentina, a multi-generational group, and the song was about hope for the next generation because they all all of the participants live in a town that has faced a lot of difficulty economically, and the community that once was sort of built around a factory that has now closed, has dispersed, and is really fighting for survival. So, wow, what was that? That was crazy.
There are balloons. That's so
Balloons.
funny. And there was a, yeah. I
What?
don't know what that was. It was a
Yeah.
surprise. It was a gift.
Wow, just so you all know who are listening, I don't know if you're, but that was crazy. All of a sudden, in the back of our Zoom screen, a bunch of balloons just virtually flew up to the ceiling. I'll also say
Was
we
super.
also do a workshop in Latin American music, and particularly music from Argentina, and it's a lot of fun. It can be for any age, and we teach students about several different folk genres from Argentina, and we use a map to show them, you know, where they're being used, and we talk about like this one is used for carnival and it looks like this, and they practice the rhythms by clapping, and then we ask them to choose one of the genres and we write a new song altogether. Can be in English if it's for English speaking students, but like we make a tango altogether, right? So it might be like their school sports team, you know, the Tiger Tango or something, but we make this song in the genre, in the folk genre. But it's with a message that they choose for
That's really
themselves, and
fun. That's really
that's a
fun.
blast. And then if we have time and funding, we make a video. So we've done a couple of State Department projects where we've really worked very hard on songs, fully fleshed them out, recorded them, and then we had the funding to create a beautiful music video with the students as the performers. So that's been a huge treat. We hope we get to do that in Angola. We might be able to because we have a videographer coming with us for the trip. So fingers crossed that we do something like that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Wow. So before we I hope we have enough before we run out of time, do you guys have any music in the works? What are you working on creatively?
Well, I'm right now like going crazy because I'm releasing an album.
Whoa,
Yeah.
that's exciting. Yeah, that's a lot of
Yes.
work.
It is a lot of work, and it's a big album that I recorded in Argentina last year with an amazing ensemble of musicians from Argentina, except for the flutist who lives in Boston, and she's from Russia, but she speaks Spanish better than me. And I have amazing guests also. She's one of them. And I'm putting a lot of energy in this album, and I want to release it in the beginning of May. So I'm trying
Wow.
to finish it. And every time I listen to something, I make a change, I tweak something. So it's like, it's very, you know what it is. You're a musician too. So you know what it is like to
Oh yeah.
stand on
It's it can
stage.
be never it can be truly never ending. But so it's set to release in May. What's it called? Do you
Yeah, I
know?
don't have a name yet. I don't have a name
Oh.
yet. So I accept suggestions.
Okay.
And you can
Well,
send me
what's
music and you can give me ideas.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of it if you want to share. What is the ensemble like?
It's guitar vo and vocals that I play guitar and vocals. Then drums, percussion, keyboard, bass, and flute. That's a basic ensemble. And then I have some guest vocalists and an harmonica player. And I have a group of sikus, which is like a huge ensemble of many people playing this like pan flute,
Cool.
traditionally from the north of Argentina. I'm really excited. It's like it's gonna be, I really like it.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I can't wait to hear it. And I'm wishing you the best of luck. Keep me posted on when it comes out too, so I can help share it,
Great.
But yes, I wish you the best luck because I know that's a lot of work. This time last year, I released an album and it took me years. So yeah, it's not an easy feat. What about you, Eleanor?
Well, I'm very excited about Dario's record because I've witnessed a lot of the work that he's done on it, including this incredible video that he just made in Argentina. He, in very few number of days, put together an ensemble of sikus players and dancers, and they went out to a beautiful field close to the mountains and shot a music video for this particular song that he's talking about. So it's epic. I would say it's
wow. Epic.
And as soon as
Sounds
it has
awesome.
A name, I'll
we'll just shout it from them.
But it's an incredible fusion of really, really folk sounds with his composition. It's super cool.
Amazing.
And I'm very inspired by Dari, and he helps me to keep it moving with my music and songwriting. And I have a family of new songs that I'm playing little by little. I played some at Folk Alliance, where we saw you last, and I'll be performing them again this Saturday in New York at Rockwood Music Hall, and then at another event on June 11th here called On Your Radar, which is curated by John Platt, who's a very, very cool, very wonderful radio host who's been doing this for probably 50 years. We're both going to perform our new music at that event. And cool. So little by little. And Dario helped me basically hook up a pedal to my cello. So we'll have some new cello sounds, and maybe there'll even be some bombo. We're still producing those songs, and I hope they end up with some electronic elements. So stay tuned. Should be fun. Should be a fun dynamic year. Yeah.
Sounds fun. Sounds, yeah, like breaking new ground. Your cello playing is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think I saw you. I saw a video of it with an ensemble. And yeah, so I'm excited to hear more of that and the music. So hopefully, yeah, maybe an album could be coming out of it. That would be huge. Yes. Amazing. So let's see what other, I think that's almost to the end here. So you guys definitely touched on this earlier, but just for good measure, how do you think music connects us as human beings?
That's a question for you, 100%.
Let me think about it for a minute.
Sure.
Well, the first thought I had when you asked that question was, it made me think of my baby niece and nephew, who are twins, who are 7 months, and that when we go to visit them, they are already dancing. And the sounds that they make to, I think, grow their vocal cords to eventually be able to speak are singy sounds. And, you know, before they even can ask for anything, they're already bouncing and moving their heads to the music. And they have an older sister who's 3, and she just loves music, and it is so powerful. She came over to our apartment once, and we had one of these Argentine flutes, and Dario was playing it, and she just stopped, completely stopped in her tracks. And when he stopped playing it, she started crying.
Oh,
it was like, it was a frequency that she had never heard before, you know, and
yeah,
resonated with her on such a gut level. So I think on a very, very basic level, music connects us because it is such a basic part of being a living being, and that there is, I'm sure, science around just the way that the frequencies of musical notes enter our system. And it is for us very much a passport to be able to move through different languages, cultures, also socio and economic classes. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced as a musician, you know, one day you're playing in a library, community center, school, and another day you're, you know, playing in a 5-star hotel and someone's wedding and a recording studio. And now we're going to be, you know, going to a few different countries in Africa and connecting through music. And it's been an incredible way for us to, I think, also connect with each other. I mean, it really, you know, behind the scenes, you know, we are married and we don't always get along 100%. But the fortunate thing is, because we perform together, it has happened in the past that we've been in a tense moment and then we had a show and you just kind of have to play. And it doesn't mean that the thoughts don't necessarily change 100%, but you really can't hold on to it and also play a concert at the same time. Something shifts.
Yeah.
Would you agree, Dari?
Yep.
Something shifts. So we have to make it work, and we do make it work. And then usually things are better. So music has taken us. Yeah. So, the original question is, how does it connect us as humans? I mean, I think it's maybe a first language that we all share, even before we share spoken language. It is a human language.
I love that. I want to quote that, that's a beautiful way to put it. I've never heard that before too, but it is like a first language that we all have, that you don't know you have it until you experience it as a human. But definitely.
Yeah. It like moves you. It's in like an auto. I mean, no one can see me doing this right now, but like I'm shaking my body. We all know what it looks like when a baby is bouncing up and down or moving their head. It's like, it's another entry point into their understanding of things. And I work with kids a lot. We both do. And, you know, if you sing something to kids, like, you know, time to sit down in a circle, you know, they will do it. And they're very excited about it. It's a lot of fun to sing instead of speak is a lot of fun. So
yeah, that's so true. And now I'm thinking, like, as adults, why don't we just sing more to each other?
Totally agree.
We could do it anytime.
We do, yeah, times. We work with we do also a lot of online work, and we work with some corporate teams, and sometimes you know, we'll need to say something like, we need to introduce the host of a particular event. And instead of saying it, I'll say, you know, when we're finishing a song, you know, my name is Eleanor. This is Dario. We're coming to you live from New York City. So happy to introduce to you our host. No, 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 no. You know, so it's,
yes,
we don't lose it. I don't think we lose.
Yeah, totally. I couldn't agree more. Daria, do you have anything you'd like to add to that question?
I don't think so. I think for me, it's like music is the way to connect. It's so hard for me to connect in different ways. You know, like I'm so familiar with it, maybe because I grew up in a musical family. Like everything is music. That's the way I connect to my family. That's the way I connect to my friends. That's our way, with, you know, Eleanor and I connect that way. So it's very hard for me to think about other ways to connect, you know, to people that's not through music.
So. Totally. Also dance. I have to say that you don't need to speak to be able to share a dance with someone. And I love salsa dancing. And even there's a form called contract improvisation that is like an improvisational dance form a lot of people do who are dancers and non-dancers. And it's pretty cool. You can share, you know, you share weight with someone. You don't need words, but you are communicating. And I think that, you know, for kids too, right? So let's get Daria on the dance floor.
Yes.
I love salsa too, but eating salsa, you know, like red sauce.
I'm right there with you. Some chips with lime. Yeah. Hint of lime. So good. Well, guys, it's been so much fun chatting with you. Thanks for being here. Where can people find you online, follow your music, and find your music?
Well, they can go to eleanorandario.com. That's the easiest, because we have everything there. Mm-hmm. And of course, like eleanordubinsky.com, dariokostateich.com. And of course, all the platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, you can find us everywhere. Like, we're making it very easy for you to find us.
Now that you've had a chance to get to know Eleanor and Dario, I'm so excited to share their music with you. Eleanor has an amazing voice, and her songwriting is full of soul and is so uplifting. This is her original song, Soft Spot of My Heart. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
When you're troubled and the world is pulling at your feet, open your eyes, you never know what you might see. Feeling weary, got the weight of the world on me. But there is newness bubbling under my feet. Turn it around, turn it around. There are colors underneath the icy ground.
Turn around, turn around, turn around.
Have you smelled fresh rain after a storm? When the soil opens and the earth gets warm, roots grow down, the birds they plant new seeds. If spring flowers can open, we can be released. Turn it around, turn it around. There are colors underneath the icy ground. Turn it around, it's turning around. There are colors underneath the icy ground. Diggity, 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 diggity.
Dario totally shreds on the guitar. You can hear his classical, Latin, and jazz influences. This next song is his quintet performing Fiesta Manca. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
final track is Eleanor and Dario's rendition of My Favorite Things off of their 2022 holiday album, Tis the Season, Music for a Holiday Table.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. I don't feel so bad. In fact, I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good, yeah. I feel holiday season, I don't feel so bad.
I love the Latin influences in that arrangement. If you love their music and want to listen to more, you can find them on all streaming platforms under Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta and online at eleanorandario.com. And if you like today's episode of Travel Notes and want to learn more about what we do, you can find us on social media at travelnotes_podcast and online at gracemcnallymusic.com under the Travel Notes tab. This concludes this week's episode of Travel Notes. As always, wishing you peace, harmony, and safe travels wherever this crazy adventure of life takes you. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next time.